I absolutely love Chris Cornell's voice. One of the best voices in all of radio. And in fact, if you ever get the chance, he does a version of Michael Jackson's Billie Jean, kind of an acoustic version of Billie Jean that is absolutely awesome. So if you get on YouTube, type in Chris Cornell and Billie Jean, you'll find it. But anyhow, I digress, because we're supposed to be talking about HR and some other things. Thanks for everyone for listening to Drive Through HR, letting us invade your ear hole. We have a wonderful guest who's going to drop a bunch of knowledge on us. We're really excited. We are without Brian. He is down in Austin, Texas, doing a bunch of work down there today, but he'll be back on the show tomorrow. And without any further ado, Chris, how are you doing, brother?
I'm doing great. Thank you. Thank you, William.
We had a wonderful pre-show, actually, with the green room, as we refer to it, as we were talking all about Boston. So we had a lot of fun at Boston's expense, and we will get into the good work that you're doing. If you don't mind, Chris, introduce yourself. Tell us, those that might not know you, tell us a little bit about yourself.
Yeah, fantastic. So my name is Chris Boyce. I'm the CEO of a company by the name of Virgin Pulse. It's one of Sir Richard Branson's companies, and what we're trying to do is really change people's behavior. We find that if you can help people change their behavior in real meaningful ways, you can make a real dent, not only in their life, but in the life of their, you know, kind of in their work life, their home life, their social life, kind of all kind of a 360 view of that employee, if you will. And it's one of those things that Richard, you know, by and large, has just done so well with all of his companies. Part of the reason he's done so well is because he really knows how to build great cultures, really knows how to involve his people, knows how to kind of give them what it is that they want to be engaged in those companies and really and make a difference. And what we find is that if you give people the right tools, they can make a real impact across the board. It can make an impact in their own life. They can make an impact at work, larger than what they're making today. So our view is that if you treat your employees right, you show them some love, they'll love you back. And love you in big, kind of big ways. And really this idea of unleashing their talent, what they already have, and helping them, you know, giving them the tools so that they can be their best and deliver the most is what we're excited to do and what we're about.
Well, that's genius. So how long have you worked for Mr. Branson?
So I've been here for 8 years now, just coming on 8 years. It's been just a heck of a ride. It's a lot of fun.
Now, when you're alone with him, do you have to refer to him as Sir or Richard or Mr. Branson? Like, what's decorum?
No, Richard is great. He is one of the great guys that I've ever done business with. He's got a heck of a mind, but he cares about the right stuff, and you see that in everything that he does. It really is one of those true honor and privilege to work with somebody who one is so successful, but two is such a down to earth, you know, a guy that cares about, you know, where we live, who we are, and what we do, not from just a corporate sense, but from a across the world sense. Really is an honor.
Oh, that's genius.
It's great. It's great. It's down to earth. And the thing that I love about Richard, he's not afraid to make mistakes. In fact, he wants to learn stuff. He wants to try things and learn things. And so I've seen and worked with a lot of really successful people, and sometimes they get a little bit, when they get very successful, they start to defend. Not Richard. Richard is still out trying to move the world and make a difference and apply kind of his knowledge and resource to do that. So I got to tell you, it's a really, really fun event for me to when I sit down and walk through what we're doing as a company with Richard. But part of the Virgin Group overall, right, it's got that same motion, that same feel. And that really is what we're trying to unleash with organizations, is to let that greatness come out of those organizations. So,
and y'all have rebranded. And y'all have rebranded in the last couple of years, right?
Yeah, we have. Just this last year, in fact, we used to. Initially, our name was Virgin Health Miles, and you know that was so. It started with this basic idea: if you can reward people for good health, then maybe you can get them to make a difference, right? That was a simple idea. So Health Miles was the tagline. But what we found across the board is you know, reward was one aspect, but there's a whole bunch of other aspects about changing, you know, helping people, giving tools to people where they can change their lives and change the lives of people around them in positive ways. And we find that every client that we've ever had has found that you know, that's done the research, that's done the study, they have shown specifically through collaboration with us, but their own data, that they are actually reducing health care costs for the population. But you come back to it time and time again, and, you know, our clients, our best clients are saying, look, 75% of the value you bring is not in health care reduction, right, cost. It's in really making us a great place to work. It's in changing engagement scores. It's in driving a better culture. It's in unleashing kind of this organizational, you know, capability from the people that we have, and really allowing them to be the very best that they can be. And so we actually, the reason we changed the brand is because we're having a much broader impact than health per se. We're having a much broader impact in organizations. And so it kind of gets down to this idea that there's in any company you go to, there's a real vibe about that company. There's an energy that company has, a focus that a company has, you know, a motivation that a company has, what drives them to do what it is that they do. And we're finding that we're hitting all of those things. We can help them change that company change its overall energy level. We can help them change the focus that they have, and we can help them change the motivation for why it is that they do what they do, and bring their employees along, or in most cases, let their employees lead that charge. And when that happens, it really is this idea about the overall pulse of an organization. And so that's why we changed the name to Virgin Pulse. Is you know, it's kind of that underlying daily employee engagement that we're tapping into in a big way.
I love that. What is top of mind for you these days? What's keeping you up at night?
So the thing that has kept me up at night and continues to keep me up at night is this one thing. And we're very good at it, but we're not satisfied. So the one thing is this is, can I engage employees daily in things that matter, in, you know, that make a difference and matter across the board? So really, if you look at it, what keeps me awake all the time is, can I give people tools that they actually love to use and that make a difference in their life, and then they involve others, right? You've got this social ability to now connect with others and help grow groups. But what keeps me up at night is can we continue to build out programs that do that? In fact, it was such an issue for us when we first started, and I attribute a lot of our success to this. When we first started, we actually had a little bit different way that we priced our product. And it was different than everybody in the industry, and it was actually a harder sale. But I was so insistent that we did it this way, which was, if people don't use the product, you don't pay us, right? If this isn't valuable to your people, you don't pay us. And that was very different. It's different today than most people and the way they think about it. But what that forced us to do day in and day out is figure out, well, what is the product that is going to really resound with this member? What's going to bring them back? How does it become fun and easy and valuable, all in the same, you know, in the same sentence? And so that idea of daily engagement for us has been a primary driver, so much so that we actually aligned our financials all around that. And it forced us to be that. And one of the things that we've been able to find, William, is that you know, I think Facebook, on average, people that have signed up with Facebook, they average come back 4.3 times a week is how often they're back. And we find that across our member base, and you go look at Compete and some of the other places, is, you know, our members are coming back on average 3.7 times a week, and which is very high, and they continue to come year after year after year. So one of the things that happens in this industry is you get what's called a decay curve, where for the first 90, 120 days, you got a lot of people involved, but it falls off pretty rapidly to single digits. And what we've been able to prove is we've been able, if people will deploy kind of our best practices, I can keep better than 60% of that population engaged over a 5, 6, 7 year time frame, and coming back at that rate. And that's really what keeps me awake at night. And the reason that keeps me awake at night is we don't offer any value if people don't use it and love it, right, on a daily basis to our HR folks. So this is what keeps HR awake at night when it comes to anything in this category, is, do people find value in it? Do they love it? Do they like it? Do they use it? Will they use it day in and day out? And so really it's an alignment of what keeps me up at night is what keeps my clients up at night, and what keeps everybody up at night is this something employees will love and use and find value with day in and day out?
What's your general sense as you look across the market in terms of the expectations that maybe different generations or even different genders or maybe different geographies have in terms of their expectations of engagement?
So on It really is interesting. I think that there are some differences. I don't think there's any question. I think it even raises a broader issue when you talk internationally. So, for example, the way that incentives are viewed internationally, the way that data is shared or not openly shared with your colleagues or people around you, varies differently on an international basis. And so I think there are a variety of different things. And what we've found, and why the other reason we found it to be successful, is we've had to deploy a variety of tools in order to get people to engage. And so, for example, some places it's much more social. And so if you have a very strong social tool, people will engage socially. If some places incentives, are considered taboo, so you don't lean on the incentives thing. But other places, it's all part of that game, and they love it, and they join in it. And so the piece that we found is the broader the engagement tools that you have, the more rich they are, the better off you're going to perform across different populations at different times and different places. To take your example a little bit further, right, which is, different geographies function maybe different ways. Well, different individuals are motivated by different things at different times in their life, even different times of the day, right? If you get close to lunch and, things motivate me differently than not. Right, and if I haven't eaten, and I've had a long morning up at 5 and exercising and doing all those things, my motivation changes at different times of the day. So again, the tool that you put in front of people to engage them in their health, to engage them in their work, to engage them in their life, their family, you basically have to have a broad set of tools. So you have to have the gamification, and you have to have the social, and you have to have one of the things that we found early on was devices are terribly important, right? I think we're the only wellness program I know that has a fully integrated device, right, soup to nuts. And the reason that we did that is there's a lot of wearables. I was just at CES talking about this. There's a ton of great wearables on the market, right? Fitbit is out there, and the Misfit Shine, and Polar's been out there for years with their own, their own version of stuff. And that's all really great stuff. The challenge is those people are all targeting kind of the worried well, the high end of the population. And so what happens is if you want to change a behavior or change overall and across an employee base, you have to get the majority of people using the product and using it and loving it. And so the build is not for that worried well, the high-end person. The build is for the person that may not be gravitating towards that and actually trying to kind of find their own way, right? And you have to make it very easy and very simple. We just launched a new product, a new device called the Max. And it is built around that idea, which is just all about engagement. So the price point's different. It's, it's $39.99 instead of, $99 or $129. There's all the motivational things that you can see on the screen. Every detail of that thing that we put together is about this idea of engaging with you on a daily basis. And not engaging just with the high end, but engaging with a let's say, not a power user, but a normal user. And that's the other thing that you've got to come to realize here is you can build all this great technology, but if it isn't simple, it isn't fun and easy for everybody to use, you're in real trouble.
Well, this is interesting, Chris. And you talked about changing the behavior of an individual. So I'm guessing, how hard it is to change the behavior of not an individual, but a group of people that is our workforce, and what's the role of a leader in it?
Yeah, sure. I actually think there's a piece of me that says if you can get it in the workforce, it's easier to change the individual behavior. And let me explain that. If you can get the majority of people talking about, doing, and focused on nutrition or exercise or sleep or any number of different topics, and it's high on the topic list for everybody, and you can turn them on, if you will, for example, this idea of insourcing, if you can actually get that group of people moving on it, and you can take your internal experts. I mean, I have a company of 120 people now, right? And inside that company, we have some really, really people who know a lot about different things. It's not their job to share it with everybody, but they know a lot. So if you give them a tool and they can help this, our socialness grow around any of one of those ideas, like I got a guy that's all over paleo, right? And so a lot of people have adopted that, and we've got a group going. We had a challenge around it. There's a whole bunch of things that if you allow people inside the organization to drive it, then all of a sudden, if I'm the person that's not on board, I'm the minority, and all of a sudden it's like, oh, wow, everybody else is exercising. Everybody else is thinking about nutrition. Maybe I should join. So that idea of getting the social movement headed the right way, if you can do that, then it makes it easier for everybody to change, is really key. So in addition to that, you've got to have tools that help people celebrate small wins along the way. So, you know, look, if I'm not exercising every day, but I get out and at least I'm wearing my Max, I'm taking Max with me, our accelerometer, right? Then we ought to celebrate the fact that you're at least paying attention to how much you're moving around in a day, right? Or paying attention to how much sleep you're getting. So the idea that this is something that you want to focus on and then helping people establish really simple, small habits is important. So for example, we can show that over a 6-7 year period, I can get 50% of a population that was inactive as per the CDC to become active and stay active during that time. I can get 50% of the population to do that, and I've got definitive longitudinal proof that we can do that, right? The way you start that is not to say go get 10,000 steps or go get 7,000 steps in a day. The way that you do that is you help them build the habit of taking that accelerometer with them as one of the first things that they do, right? So do you put that with your keys? Do you put that in your pocket? Where do you keep that at night so you don't forget it the next morning? That's the kind of habit that if you can help people build, actually opens the door to change. Because if you try and bite off too much up front, if it's too hard for the person to do, they won't do it. So you've got to figure out a path or a glide path for them to get to where it is that they need to go. And from a senior leadership standpoint, what you want to do is give them the tools and support and the idea that this is important to you as an employer, as a leader, that we really care about our employees. We're giving you the tools to do it. We'll put incentives in place, right, to prove that we really do think this is important, and we value your health and we value your, you know, well-being across the board. Once you do that and give them the tools, then set the example yourself. That's great, but then you let the people go and do. You let all of the employees go and attack this thing. And once they're involved and they're driving challenges and they're starting groups and they're, you know, they're working in their own little pods of people, that's when you really see behavior change start and stick for the long term. And that's our goal, is to make sure that it's not just a flash in the pan, but whatever we put out there sticks for, you know, for a 4, 5, 6, 10. We want it to become, you know, very internally driven, not externally driven for people. But now that I've actually made this change, this is part of who I am. And so getting those people to that point is really the focus of the change that you're talking about. And leaders play a huge role in that, but they set the table. They provide the structure, and then they provide the tools for people to kind of take this initiative in their own hands and make it happen.
Wonderful. And you said you have gone through, I mean, your company has gone through a rebranding process. So
yeah.
Tell us a little bit about it, how that impacted the culture of the organization. And you being the leader, what was your experience in making sure everybody is on the same page?
Yeah, so this is one of those things that's really interesting. When we had first started it, we were solely focused on kind of physical health. And I quickly saw that the value that we were delivering was greater than that. And we started to talk about it internally, and it takes a while for people to get it, especially if they're not out talking to clients, if they're not, you know, you've got to be able to crystallize that. And so going through the rebranding process was a great way for us not only to inform kind of internally what it is that we were doing and the direction that we were headed, but our clients saw the same thing. So we've had to take, you know, we have over 250 clients, and we've had to take them on that same journey with us, which is, especially the ones that have been around the longest, which is, you know, we can change your physical activity and your behavior as it comes to that. And we do all of the challenges and the competitions and things around that. But what we're seeing is a lot of other areas that people are involved in. And so our new clients have actually helped us with that. So for example, British Petroleum is a client of ours. They have 18 different employee programs, and we sit at the kind of the employee hub of all of those 18 different programs. So they have a program around sustainability, a huge program around sustainability, and we love that. And so they basically get points in our system. They're able to track what they've done. They're able to get rewarded for what it is that they do, and we promote the heck out of what it is that they're trying to get done as well. They also have a, you know, kind of a give back to the community as a social, you know, what are you involved in socially? And so if you go volunteer at places, you get rewarded. If you go, you know, take on social causes, you get rewarded. So they're really trying to drive this whole view of kind of what it means for a person to have a higher total quality of life. And they use our program at the very center of that. And so what we're able to do, and one of the best things that we have is, you know, we have kind of best practices that are shared among our clients. And so once people become a client, we share those best practices across the board with others so people can go, oh, I had no idea we could tie our social initiatives or our mission that we're involved in into your program. And so they've actually helped drive that change from a branding standpoint across the board, not only with our own members, right, with their members, but with our employees as well as our kind of our older customers, the ones that have been around forever. And the great part about our customer base is they have learned their best practices about what they do, and the new customers come in with some new ideas about ways to do things, and then we're off the path trying to measure that and measure the impact of those things. And they're able to share with one another kind of what those best practices are. So, and we're able to learn together collectively, and it's not just us and one client. It's us and kind of 250 of really kind of forward-thinking clients that we have that are trying to make a real difference at work and a real difference in the lives of their employees. So we track all of that and measure that and put those programs together and share with one another kind of at a higher level across those clients. And that really is what kind of Virgin Pulse is about, is we're trying to understand that vibe, that pulse, what's driving these organizations, what they find to be successful, and then sharing that with others across the board and getting them in the same kind of the same boat and having them see the same kinds of successes.
All right, Chris, we're going to play a game called Flip the Cynic. So you meet a CEO somewhere out, you're out and about, you know the deal, and she is just not hardwired to either believe in wellness, they're not values-wise, they've never really tried it, or even if they've tried it and it's failed, whatever. And, you know, you're alone with this person for a couple minutes. How do you flip the cynic?
So I guess my first answer, my very first answer is that might not be the client that I'm after, right? Because there's plenty of people that actually are driving their companies, seeing changes, and really want to lead out. So my first answer is, you know what? That may not be the best thing because it may be just too much hard work. You may not be successful because you may take a stick approach to this versus a carrot, for example, if you decide to flip. Now, that would be my first instance is like, you know what? Some people are just where they're at. It's going to be hard to convert that person if they don't see it. And there's plenty of other people that actually are forward thinking and looking at the next thing. But if I was in a room with a cynic and I thought that that cynic, you know, had all the capacity in the world and capability of being one of those great places to work, this is, I mean, the thing that I would tell them is this, and I think that they would get it. I would say, look, you have employee A, and employee A has health problems, right? They're overweight. They're not exercising. And their marriage is falling apart. They don't feel motivated in, you know, to do anything in the community. They're hustling just to get by. They're not very focused in what it is they do. They're not very happy with their own life. And that's employee A, okay? And then you have employee B, and employee B is on top of it, right? And they are, you know, their relationships are great. Their health is in line. They feel very focused at work. They're passionate about the mission that is going on at work. They know why they do what they do. They're excited and focused and aligned with their coworkers. They're able to give back in different ways to not only work but the community and their families. And those two people, which is it that you want as a part of your team, right? Which person is it that you want as a part of your team? And so my question is it's very hard to measure the difference in those things. But now let's say that those two people are twins. Those are twins, right? They're exactly the same in skill sets. The only difference is one's got it all together and the other one's fallen apart. Well, which person is it that you're going to hire? And I've never had a CEO say, well, I want the person whose life has fallen apart. I want that person on my team, right? Because everybody has an innate set of skills that you can leverage, and that's why you hire the person. But if everything else in their life is noise and it gets in the way of kind of being able to deliver at work, you're in real trouble. And so, you know, that's kind of at the emotional, individual, anecdotal level that I would try and flip that person. And I've never had a person say, gosh, You're right. I would always hire the one, right, the person that had their that things were going well. I've never had anybody say they wouldn't hire that person. So that's kind of where I start with them. But then I start to build up the proof case against things, right? So, for example, if I can change a person's physical activity, okay, their anxiety is going to change. It's proven. Their depression is going to change. It's proven. If you're not depressed at work, you actually have changed that, and that's important. Then you've just cut a whole swath of people now that are actually can be more engaged because they're not as depressed as they used to be, right? So it has a real impact on their ability to work, right? If you got a group and their family has fallen apart or the same thing has happened, let's say that somebody has a spouse at home and that spouse is depressed and things are falling apart there, right? It's still going to impact your employee. Everybody thinks that you can come to work and just leave everything else, you know, at home. But the fact of the matter is that's not the case. Our work is invading our home space and our homes are invading our workspace. The two you can't just easily separate. So my answer to that person is I can measure the change in behavior longitudinally in those people and all of the studies. I haven't seen a study yet that hasn't proved that if you can get a person to exercise more, their brain function doesn't get better somehow. Either they're more focused, they're more ordered, they have more confidence. There's all sorts of data and feedback on that. Now, can I tell you your bottom line's going to change? Nah, not yet, but I'm planning on getting there. And we work collaboratively with all of our clients to try and prove out the points that organization feels like is the best proof point that they can, you know, that they want to run towards inside that or, you know, inside of that company to prove that this thing actually has validity, actually holds water. Again, every study that we've done shows that we've changed their, you know, their health costs. That's great. But you don't need to do those studies, by the way, if you can only get 20% of your people engaged with you for, you know, years on end. Those studies,
right.
it's going to be very hard to prove that out. The real proof point for us is, can I get you to engage for the long term and change behavior for the long term? If you do, then I think science will catch up to all of the proof points about why people's lives are better, why they can actually devote more energy, more focus, and more motivation at work. And that really is what we're trying to drive towards is if I can help a person have more energy, right, people go, well, wait, if they've got more energy across the board, they're not just saving that energy for home. They're actually putting that energy in probably at work as well. If I've got the more focused on the things that, you know, more focused, right, mentally aligned, then that probably doesn't just impact home. It impacts work. So the great news that we have that we have is you impact a person's life across the board, and it will impact the business. There's just no question about it. And we're building out those proof points all the time. And honestly, we haven't come up short on that stick yet when we pushed really hard with our partners. So that's the, you know, but those things are hard to prove. Don't get me wrong. This is not a wave the hands and, you know, hooray. We've seen engagement improve. We've seen all of those things improve. But drawing it to the bottom line, it's very hard. The other thing I would say too, Anisha, is that, you know what? That burden of proof that we have is a lot different than a lot of different burden of proof for the world at large, right? So let me use one example, and this is a silly example, but it's true. It wasn't until just a couple years ago that we had absolutely proven that computers helped us be more efficient in the workplace. Think about that for just a second, right? The whole world went the way of computers because at a personal level, they got it. It's like, wow, I can get more done. But the studies to prove that that was the case didn't come and follow for years after. And so the clients that we actually work with and the ones that we're looking for, the ones that get it at that level, they're like, wow, I know that when I exercise and when my financial health is put together and when I'm getting the sleep that I need and when I'm eating the right stuff, I actually perform better on a day-to-day basis. Those are the people that we're looking for because they get it, just like somebody gets a computer in their hands and go, wow, I'm more effective. I can get a lot more work done. I can share things in better ways, right? So we think that proof, and we plan on continuing to prove that out, but that proof will be coming. All of the studies point towards it. I haven't seen a study yet that would disprove it, but all of the real hard, you know, kind of intensive studies show that if you get a person's life in order, they actually start then to take more control in other areas of life. They have more confidence. They have more resiliency. They have more, you know, more of everything that an employer really wants. And so that's.
I think, Chris, I think we got about 10 seconds left in the show. I told you it'd move fast, and oh my goodness, 30 minutes just blew by. thank you so much for dropping knowledge. Thank you for coming on the show. I know I wrote down two or three things that I learned during the show. Thank you. And thank everyone for listening to Drive Through HR today. Have a wonderful day. Have a great week. And thank you for listening to Drive Through HR. Thanks, everybody.